Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Get set for another explosive day at former President Donald Trump's hush money trial.
I think that Michael Cohen's testimony will be fire and brimstone.
CBS News legal contributor Ricky Kleeman, as Mr. Trump's former fixer, prepares to take the stand and detail the transaction at the heart of the case. Correspondent Naomi Ruckham.
Cohen is expected to lay out his account that he paid adult film star Stormy Daniels $130,000 to hide an alleged past sexual encounter with Trump ahead of the 2016 election. Trump faces charges of falsifying business records to cover up his reimbursement to Cohen.
Jury selection expected to begin today at New Jersey Democrat Robert Menendez's corruption trial. The 70-year-old faces charges in a bribery conspiracy case that could affect his reelection prospects and help determine which party controls the Senate next year. Menendez's wife has also been charged. She will be tried separately. Israel is pushing deeper into southern Gaza, despite U.S. warnings against a full-scale invasion of Rafah. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
In Israel today, there was a two-minute standstill as a siren marked Memorial Day. In southern Gaza, Palestinians gathered to frantically stock up on water ahead of what may be an Israeli invasion. The UN estimates more than 350,000 people have fled Rafah so far. Secretary of State Blinken says the U.S. has still seen no credible Israeli plan to protect civilians there.
At Duke University. Pro-Palestinian graduates booing commencement speaker Jerry Seinfeld, who hasn't been shy about his staunch support for Israel. Dozens of grads left their seats. Others at Emerson in Boston erupted into chants during their ceremony. Crews at the site of the collapsed Key Bridge in Baltimore are set to blow up a large portion of the remains tonight in order to free the cargo ship that triggered the disaster. Correspondent Chris Van Cleve.
They estimate it weighs between 3,000 and 4,000 tons. That's a problem because the strongest crane on the East Coast that's out there that's floating, it can only lift about 1,000 tons. So they need to break that truss into pieces. They'll use explosives to do it.
Employees at an Apple store in Towson, Maryland have voted to walk out. CBS's Matt Piper.
Workers say they're seeking changes in what they call unpredictable scheduling practices and wages that align with the local cost of living. No date has been set for the strike.
S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This report is sponsored by Lee's Deli, serving Racine's favorite sandwiches for over 50 years. Go to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals tab for 30% savings.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Environmentalists are in court fighting the Department of Natural Resources over a big factory farm in central Wisconsin. Adam Voskel is with Midwest Environmental Advocates. He says the DNR should have allowed public input on the CAFO's wastewater permit.
We're seeing concerns over CAFOs in western Wisconsin, too, where there have been significant spills and fish kills.
The DNR has a month to respond. The Wisconsin State Patrol is urging drivers and bicyclists to be aware of their surroundings, to share the road, and keep everyone safe. The State Patrol highlights bicycle safety each May. Bicycles are considered vehicles in Wisconsin with the same rights and responsibilities. Last year, 7 bicyclists were killed in crashes in Wisconsin and 699 people were injured. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
It's the Brewers and the Pirates tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a 3-game home series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight in Milwaukee. Yesterday, the crew losing to the Cardinals 4-3, missing out on a chance to complete a 4-game sweep. The Cards able to snap a 7-game losing streak thanks to a much-needed home run by veteran Paul Goldschmidt, who is 1-for-34 so far this month. Manager Pat Murphy.
It's hard to beat a major league team 4 times. Any of these 30 major league teams, it's hard to beat them. The day that Goldie breaks out a little bit hurts us. Koenig did the job we asked him to do, but you got to have more than that. You know, to beat a major league team on any given day.
College basketball, Sundance Wicks is one and done. A year ago, Wicks was an assistant coach at Wyoming, hired by UW Green Bay in his first head coaching job. He turned the program around, winning 15 more games. Over the weekend, Wicks met with Wyoming and emerged as their new men's head basketball coach. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN Sports with Mike Clemens is sponsored hourly by Pottawatomie Hotel Casino. Learn more online at paysbig.com.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high right around 69 with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms will end tonight, low of 45 tomorrow. Clouds in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon with a cooler high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now it's 64.
Crude and Dom.
Dominic is in Europe on the holiday road, but you can hear some of the greatest radio shows ever in his absence. Tune in all week long.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to WRJN, Racine and Kenosha's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All hotels are nice that first night, right? You're like, this is pretty sweet. Then the next day, you're like, this place is a dump. Because we get spoiled so quickly in hotels, you know? They can have the nicest amenities, but after a couple days, you're like, same chocolate on the pillow. You think by now they know I like peanut butter. I stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge in Disney. There were giraffes right outside my window. But by the end of the week, I was like, giraffe again. How about a lion? How about a lion eating a giraffe? That would be magical, Disney. Because we get spoiled. In hotels, there's a sense of entitlement. You ever leave for the day and you come back and they haven't had a chance to clean your room? There's a certain amount of outrage.
Excuse me. There is a towel on the floor of my bathroom. Can you send a maid or a manservant to pick it up? I demand we burn the peasant village.
They spoil us. I think it's awkward when someone knocks on your hotel door. It's like,
whoa, who even knows I'm in here? Is it the FBI?
Then you have to look through that hotel door peephole. Has anyone on the other side of a peephole not look like a serial killer? I ordered a cheeseburger, but I think it's the Grim Reaper.
What a drag it is getting old. Kids are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way, gets her through her busy day. Things are different today. I hear every mother say, cooking fresh food for her husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she buys a frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and to help her on her way, get her through her busy day. Doctor, please, some more of these. Outside the door, she took four more. What a drag getting old. Men just aren't the same today. I hear every mother say, they just don't appreciate that you get tired. They're so hard to satisfy, you can tranquilize your man. So go running for the shelter of a mother's little helper, and for help you through the night, help to minimize your plight. Doctor, please, some more of these. Outside the door, she took four more. What a drag it is getting old. Life's just much too hard today. I hear every mother say, the pursuit of happiness just seems a bore. And if you take more of those, you will get an overdose. No more running for the shelter of a mother's little helper. They've just helped you on your way through your busy dying day.
I must be the most naive disc jockey in America, and I'll tell you why. It wasn't until 3 weeks ago, and I've played that song hundreds of times in my career, and I didn't know it was about a little pill, a drug, that the mother was taking to give her pep all day long. I didn't know she was taking drugs. Again, am I the only person in America who didn't know that song was about drugs? I didn't know that. I know, Laura, you've heard that song before, right?
I have, yes.
Did you know it was about drugs? Now that I listen,
yes.
You did?
Yes.
I told you, I'm the most naive DJ in America. And what's hard to believe is the Rolling Stones recorded that back in the early 60s, mid-60s, and Mick Jagger is still performing on stage today in a concert tour across America. He's in his 80s, and he's still jumping around stage like he was a 20-year-old. So kudos. And he had a valve replacement like I did. He had a heart valve replacement a couple of years ago. And I'm not jumping around on stage, but he is.
Me either.
So good for me. I never knew that was about drugs. And now every time I hear it, I hear the words, you know, she's taking mother's little helper, mm-hmm. and it's a yellow pill. And now she doesn't want to take another one because she doesn't want an overdose. Who knew? I didn't know. And I'm surprised radio stations played that in the 60s on the radio because they didn't play music like that. They didn't play any drug songs. Well, anyway. Mother's Little Help with the Rolling Stones at WRJN Radio at 7:11. And my very special guest now, Laura Gillott, is here. And thank you for joining us. You have a little bit of a cough this morning, huh?
I do, and I will certainly try and minimize the sound of that on air.
You know what? You know, somebody, I once got on the, years ago, I was all upset because I had like a stuffy nose on the radio and my voice was off. But the program director said to me, you know, people are human. They get sick. I mean, what do you think? You're the only person who ever gets sick? Of course people get sick. You can't be perfect all the time. Now,
and this bug is going around, so there are probably a number of your listeners who are afflicted with the same thing at the moment.
Please, I am the worst patient in the world. When I get sick, the whole world suffers when I get sick. I can't hold it in. All right, Laura is here because I met her at the Racine Library. There was a table of authors there, local Racine authors. And what's really great is you don't realize how many local published authors are living right here in Racine. There was a bunch of them that wrote books. And these are good books. These are books that sell a lot of copies. And Laura is one of them. But before we get to all that, you have a pretty interesting background. You didn't just wake up one morning and write a book. You've got a big background here. You're a graduate from University of Wisconsin Parkside?
Well, no, I taught at UW-Parkside.
Oh, you taught there, okay.
Yes, I taught there for 30 years in the history department.
But you got your PhD from the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Wisconsin-Madison, correct.
So give us a little background about your resume, just so we know who we're talking to.
Well, I guess I'll say that although I am not a native Wisconsinite or Racinian, I've been respectively in Wisconsin for over 50 years, Racine for over 40 years, so I do consider this home. I grew up in Michigan, but I first came to Wisconsin as an undergraduate at Marquette University, and then went on to Madison for graduate school, and then in 1982 moved to Racine to take up a position at UW-Parkside. Where, as I said, I taught for the next 30 years.
What did you teach?
I taught European history.
And that is very interesting because the book we're going to talk about is a bit of European history.
It is indeed.
So let's get to that. And I'm looking at your awards here. I mean, I once got an award from the Wisconsin Association of Broadcasters, but nothing like this stuff. Whoa, look what you've taught. This is European, ancient, and medieval history, Europe from 15 to 1815. Those are the years, folks. Then 1815 to present, Austrian history, German history since 1815, Europe between the wars, Europe since 1945. Look at this thing here. You must watch.
Well, there's a lot of European history to cover.
You know, and that's the thing is, there's not a lot of American history to cover. I mean, when you think about it, 17th, you know, the 17th.
Comparatively speaking, it's a, at least, you know, from the time it became the United States, if one were to truly teach American history and the story of the native peoples, it would be as lengthy. But, yeah, certainly the history of the United States by comparison. What are we coming up on, the 250th anniversary, I think?
I remember the bicentennial. Yes. I was working at a radio station. We did a big bicentennial celebration. Now here we are.
It's hard to believe that's 50 years ago almost, another couple of years, and we'll be there. Wow.
So, but we can't really do the history before, I guess, the Europeans came over to America, because is there history to be had with Native Americans? Do we know what the history is?
Well, there is, and it certainly is not my area of expertise, so I wouldn't trample on anybody else's. But no, there are courses, and there certainly is a field of study in the history of Native American peoples, and that is, in many ways, it's a study that is interdisciplinary. I mean, it relies upon anthropology, for example, along with history, the study of artifacts, study of geology and geography, environmental history. So yes, it is certainly possible, and some of the histories of Racine that one can find at the library or the Racine Heritage Museum often do include a chapter or chapters that begin with the story of the native peoples of this area.
And this is rich in Native American history. Where I grew up, the town I grew up in, Massapequa, is an Indian name. And so every town on Long Island is an Indian name. There's no modern names out there. Yeah. And, you know, you have Quag, Nessaquag, you have Merrick, which is the Moroki Indians, the Massapequa Indians. You have all these Indian tribes. So, you know, when people say, well, you know, we don't want foreigners coming into this country. Guess what, folks? We are the foreigners.
The latecomers, yes.
We are the intruders, okay?
Yes.
The Native Americans were here first. Your book, and we're going to talk about more about this after the break coming up, Helen Perry Curtis and the European Trip of a Lifetime. Now, I want to make sure I'm not confused here. There was a book in 1930 published, which led to your current book. Am I right?
Yes, that is correct. 1937, to be precise, yes.
Now, we only have about a minute or so here. Let's get started on that one. So the first book you didn't write. You had nothing to do with.
Correct. I was not around in 1937.
Okay.
I'm younger than Mick Jagger.
Okay.
So, yes, very quickly, Helen Perry Curtis published a book in 1937 about a mother-daughter trip through Europe. And my mother, whose book this was when she was 10 years old, gave that book to me when I was around 10. It was still on the shelf at my grandfather's house. And she said very prophetically, here, you'll like this. It's about a girl who goes to Europe. And I suppose you could say in some ways I grew up to be the girl who went to Europe. And I certainly grew up to be the girl who wrote a book about Helen Perry Curtis and her daughter's trip or trips through Europe. So that's what we can get into more after your break.
Yeah, we're going to get into all that. Now, did this book, the fact that it was a European trip, did that lead you to get into European history? Is that
absolutely.
I
credit this book with sparking my interest when I was only 10 years old in this, what seemed like a magical place called Europe.
That's, you know, this is amazing how one little grain of sand changed your lifetime. Wow.
Yes.
Okay. We're talking to Laura Delott. Well, more with Laura, a local author. She's right here in Racine, and she wrote a book, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment here. WRJN, Hometown Radio Repressed, a civic media station. Sunny, 65 degrees here at Radio Park right now. Don't move.
You're listening to WRJN Racine, southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Get ready for a triple play of selection, service, and convenience with Studebaker's in Racine. Around the horn we go, from refreshing sips to snack sensations. Studebaker's great selection is the fuel to keep you going. Great service is a game changer, and the team is ready to knock it out of the park for you. In our store, or sliding into Studebaker's convenient drive-thru, where fast meets fantastic. Swing by Studebaker's Field and Food at 31 and Sprague in Racine for the winning team of selection, service, and convenience.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Summertime, 7:21 at WRJN, and with us is Laura Gelat, a local Racine author. I love that we could talk to people who live right in our community that are published authors. And we left off. You got a book from, I think, was it your mother who gave you the book?
My mother.
Yeah, it was about. Give us the name of the book again.
The name was Jean and Company Unlimited, which okay. On the face of it has little to do with Europe, but
so and
I can explain.
Yeah, go ahead. Explain how. And then you wrote a book based on this. You updated that book, too, did you not? Why don't you tell us the whole story?
Yes. Okay. All right. So there was the 1937 book that Helen Perry Curtis wrote about the mother-daughter trip through Europe. And the title, this Jean and Company Unlimited, comes from the fact that in the story, Jean and her mother go to Europe, and the mother is writing a book, researching and writing a book and traveling around Europe. And so Jean, in the beginning, is spending a year at a boarding school, a convent boarding school in the south of France. And there she meets girls from countries all around Europe whose names are cognates, grown-up English word here, cognates of Jean. So Jeanette from France, Janosika from Czechoslovakia, Giovanna from Italy, and so on. And the girls form a club of those who share this name, and they give it the very business-like name of Jean and Company. And this is the device, then, by which Helen is able to move her character, the teenage girl, from country to country during summer vacation and the following year, visiting these girls in their home country. And as I discovered when many decades later I made contact with Helen's granddaughters, there were, in fact, several trips to Europe with Helen's daughter, Jean, and a younger daughter, Polly. And this Jean and Company Unlimited, with this construct of the club, was a way in which Helen was able to tie together several trips across Europe and make it a unified story, rather than just we went here and then we came home and then we went back and came home. So a little bit of fictionalizing there in the Jean and Company book of how these actual mother and daughter, plural, trips took place.
Now, when did you do all, you did this years later, the research
in
the book?
Yes, yeah. In retirement.
Okay. Yeah,
when I had time to pursue something like this.
And you remembered that book from when you were younger, huh?
I still have it on my shelf.
Wow, that's neat. Okay, so you read this book. It led you to research the book, but then you went out and you made another book based on a European trip.
Yes, and this book, Helen Perry Curtis and the European Trip of a Lifetime, is essentially a biography of Helen and one that is centered around her European travels. She went to Europe 8 times over the course of her life, beginning with a trip in 1914 with her own mother when they were caught in Paris at the outbreak of World War I. And then she went back. They eventually got home, but she went back in 1918, 1919 as a volunteer with the YMCA. She was one of nearly 2,000 American women who voluntarily went to France once the United States became involved in World War I, and worked in canteens, serving hot chocolate and lemonade and sandwiches to the servicemen and providing a companionable place where they could come on R&R and write letters home and things like that. So that was her second trip to Europe. And then subsequently, there were a couple trips with her husband, and then she started in the 1930s traveling to Europe with her two daughters. And it was those trips that were then the basis of this fictionalized account, Jean and Company Unlimited, that she published in 1937. And so when I met the granddaughters, thank you, Internet, and the ability to connect with people and find them, first of all, online, when I connected with them and they invited me to come and meet them, they said, oh, we have a lot of our grandmother's diaries and photo albums and journals. We'd be happy to show these to you. I thought, well, that sounds like fun. So I flew to Newark, New Jersey. They live in the environs thereof. And when I saw what they had in terms of these journals, diaries, newspaper clippings, and so on, and got a sense of the scope of their grandmother's life, something much more significant from a historical point of view than I could have imagined, I thought, well, I think there's a book in this. And so for the next 5 years, I researched several trips back and forth to New Jersey, a lot of surrounding reading, using online sources, and published the book in the fall of 2020.
It's a lot of work to write a book. You don't just sit down to the computer keyboard. It's almost a typewriter, keyboard, and belt out a book. So your book is not fiction; it's nonfiction, right? In other words,
my book is nonfiction. Correct.
Okay.
Right?
So
nonfiction.
So yours is ultra. That is something. And you actually had the granddaughters help you out.
Yes, and they were delighted. You know, when I sent the first letter to one of the granddaughters, the one who in fact lives in Massachusetts. She was the one whose address I first found, and I gave her my email address, and 5 days later I got this very enthusiastic email that I've still saved in a file saying, to think that someone out there knows about our grandmother and knows about
yeah.
the book that she wrote. This is just, I ran to the phone and called my cousins in New Jersey and read your letter to them, and they were just very excited to meet someone who knew of this now quite distant book, long out of print, although it was quite popular in its day. And that was really the beginning of a friendship that continues to this day between me and Martha, Pat, and Susie. I talk about this in the acknowledgments of my book.
So you're basically, you immortalized their grandmother all over again.
Well, I did.
Now, the book you said is out of print. There is that. Did you get it reprinted, or how did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The Jean and Company book is the one that was out of print, the original 1937. Let me quickly say that in its day, Jean and Company Unlimited was chosen as a Junior Literary Guild selection of the month. I think some of your listeners probably remember the old Literary Guild where you subscribed and every month there was a book they would send you unless you returned the postcard in time to say, no, don't send me this book.
Yeah.
This is probably striking a chord with some of your listeners.
Yeah, the Columbia
so
Record Club.
A children's version of this, the Junior Literary Guild. And because once a book received that designation as a Junior Literary Guild Book of the Month, it was automatically purchased by public libraries and many school libraries across the country. So the first 10,000 copy run of Jean and Company basically sold out to libraries. And I even found in my research of the newspapers.com database the notice from the Racine Public Library that they had added Jean and Company to their holdings.
Well, that's great. More with Laura Gillott coming up. We're going to tell you how you can get published. Everybody's got a book in them. We're going to talk more about that, plus Laura's book. It's all coming up here at WRJN, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a civic media station. There we are. It's 729 at WRJN Radio. I'm Don Rosen. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday morning.
You're listening to WRJN Southeastern Wisconsin's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This report is sponsored by Happy Eight Collectibles, the treasure trove of toys, comics, and more at Gurney Mills. Go to WRJN.com and click on the Big Deals tab for 30% savings.
It may not be something you're thinking about now, but it should be. Tar spot in corn. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. DeKalb is taking a closer look at tar spot and trying to figure out what they can do to protect producers and their fields from its infection. Jim Donnelly is a technical agronomist with DeKalb and says whether you've had it or not, you still need to be on the lookout for it.
You are, I would say, if you are in a region that that has had tar spot, you are certainly with pretty good odds that you'll see it, in the upcoming years. If you're in some of those marginal areas that have not seen it, obviously your risk isn't as high, but if your neighbors or if you or your neighbors have had it, the likelihood of you seeing it next year at some level or another is pretty high.
Jim Donnelly, technical agronomist with DeKalb, says right now they've got test plots in the Janesville area working on genetic management against tar spot for the future. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Monday morning. Everything a little bit lower. Numbers are next.
Over time, you want to work less of it, so you need your crop protection to work more of it. When you add Tapran or Last Chance Pro adjuvants from CHS, they will. Designed for maximum efficacy, Last Chance Pro improves the uptake and translocation of herbicides, while Tapran helps activate herbicides for better performance against tough-to-control weeds. Ask your local CHS retailer how Tapran and Last Chance Pro adjuvants can put your crop protection to work.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our BaseLite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. BaseLite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about BaseLite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese finished the week unchanged at 191 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 198. Double A butter dropped 0.75 cents to 299 a pound. The Class 3 June milk that goes into cheese up 4 cents right now at 2055. July milk's up a nickel at 1995. Everything else is in red ink. December new crop corn down 3.5, 488. November new crop beans down a penny and a quarter at 1204. July new crop wheat right now down a penny at 662 a bushel. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Monday trade session. As always, we encourage you to follow us on social media. Check out our new Facebook page, Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high right around 69 with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms will end tonight, low of 45 tomorrow. Clouds in the morning, sunshine in the afternoon with a cooler high of 55. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine has an incredibly rare opening for a one-bedroom apartment. If you or someone you know would like to live at Fountain Hills, named number one for senior living in Mount Pleasant by senioradvisor.com, now is your chance. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety, with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. To grab this rare one-bedroom apartment, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
Shop local, buy local, save big deals.
Hi, I'm Jenny, the manager over at Your Big Deals online store. Did you know that when you shop locally, 83 cents of that dollar stays in town? Local businesses are the lifeblood of our community, and that's why you should shop Your Big Deals online store. Dozens of gift certificates to local businesses, all in one convenient place. Shop local from the convenience of your home or smartphone.
Save on Racine's big deals at WRJN.com.
Your home for the Bucks, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
So I've been enjoying the basketball and hockey championships, but I have not been enjoying the post-game press conferences. For some reason, they still have not learned that you need to put a microphone on the people asking the questions. You're at home watching this. That's an adjustment we felt we needed to make. Three, maybe four. Definitely. So if I was the athlete, I would just answer ridiculous stuff. Nobody knows what's happening anyway, you know? Probably pterodactyls. They do this at police press conferences when you need to know what's happening because something's going down. They got the police chief, he's got the badge on, you're at home, what's happening? At this point, we don't know how many escaped convicts there are. Nunchucks and flamethrowers. Yes, that's the neighborhood we think they're hiding in.
Mid-60s, the Hollies, Bus Stop, WRJN Radio, Hometown Radio Refreshed, a Civic Media station at 738. I'm Don Rosen, and my special guest is Laura Gillott, a published author who lives in Racine. And that's what we're focusing on for the next, few months. We're going to have all these published authors from Racine. Who knew? And thank you for waking up early with your cup of coffee, sitting in your coffee table this morning, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, when the break was on, I looked up on Amazon, and I found your book, and I also found Gene & Company on there.
Yes. That's what I wanted to come back and pick up from where we left off, with the original hardcover 1937 book going out of print over the decades, as it did. after I published my book, well, let me step back. When I was beginning the research on my book, I went on eBay and found a used copy of the original 1937 edition on sale for $5. I can only assume that somebody is clearing out their collection or their mother's collection, perhaps, and putting books up on eBay. So I purchased it for $5. I checked back a year or so later, and there was a copy for $8. Once my book came out, I started hearing from people who had read my biography of Helen, oh, I tried to find Jean and Company online, and I found a used copy for $25. I found a used copy for $50. Well, when it hit $180 for a used copy on eBay, I said to Helen's granddaughters, you ladies own the copyright to that book. Let's investigate bringing out a reprint edition. And that's what we did. I talked to the publisher of my biography of Helen. They were interested. So we went through the process, and I won't get into the technical details of how they converted this book into a new typeface and so on, but they did. My publisher, and working with me and with the three granddaughters, brought out this paperback, updated edition, updated with a new preface and so on, and it is now available for sale as well.
Look at you. You're an agent as well.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, I looked it up on Amazon. I saw it. I said, wow. And it looks like the original cover at one point.
Well, with the design person at my publisher,
yes,
of course, had access to what the original dust jacket cover of Jean and Company looked like. And the cover of my own book is kind of an homage to that original dust jacket cover of Jean. So the two of them together now make a very nice set, I have to say.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm noticing, I noticed the character has the same type of Paris feel to it.
Yes.
Now, what was the name of that movie I saw? So-and-so goes to Paris. Mrs. Something goes...
Mrs. Harris goes to Paris.
I saw the movie. My wife and I went to go see it one day in a theater at a matinee, and I said, I love this movie. And I found out there was a series with Angela Lansbury made Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I just knew about the one-off. I read the book after I saw the movie. I found both of them to be delightful, but the movie in particular was just lovely.
Yeah, and it's a fun story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a fun story about a woman who really doesn't have a lot of money in life, but she wants to get this one dress from a major designer, and she's just a sweet lady, and she goes through all this, and you feel for her, and Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. If you get a chance, see the movie. And there's also a TV version with Angela Lansbury, and I didn't know that. And
I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. Okay, so, but you have been to Europe before, I assume, right? Because you write so much about it, you had to go there.
Yes. Yeah. I have been very fortunate to have traveled to Europe many times.
You want to hear my European adventure? Okay, I'll tell you real quick. It's real short. I was going to Israel, and I had to stop over on the, what happened was, I went to Greece, you had to stop in Greece, and a plane came out on the runway with machine guns at us, and took off again. I don't know, there was a whole big thing. So we finally got to Israel, and this was when I was dating my first wife, we were dating, and she worked in Israel. And then we're going to go visit her relatives in the Netherlands, that lived in Holland, in the Netherlands. So we had to go to Germany first and transfer there. So we get off the plane and we missed our flight. And here I am in Germany, and I had such a temper because I was tired. I was up all night. I was wet from walking to the airport. I was in a crabby mood, and I threw my luggage across the airport, and they came running at me. They said, no, everything's okay. This was 1975. Or 76, somewhere in there. And they're running after me saying, everything's okay, everything's okay. I was late. This plane was late. Now I missed my connection. I don't know how to speak to the operator in the Netherlands. I can't speak to these people because I don't speak the line. And I'm going crazy in the airport. And that was my big European vacation.
Went back a time or two after that to set things right.
Well, and they did get me on a plane. All these guys with red coats. You know, it's funny. Here's something interesting. When I was going to Israel, I think I was getting into Israel or something like that, we had to go through security. And this is before we had security in this country. This is 1975.
Yeah.
You can actually board planes to bring people, you know, your relatives on the plane and come off. And so I'm going through this thing, and they pull me over out of line, and they make me take my clothes off. and they scanned my clothes, and I put them back on. And I was talking to the guy online in front of me, and he said, "You Americans aren't used to this yet. You will be someday."
Oh.
How prophetic was that, huh?
Yeah.
He said, "You will be someday." Hmm.
Sad, but true.
Yeah. Let's talk about how did you... Now, this was the first book you wrote, right?
Well, no.
Oh, wait a second.
As an academic, as a professor, we are expected to be publishing scholars as well, to be active scholars in addition to teaching our students. So I had published a number of things in the course of my academic career at UW-Parkside, published a book based on my doctoral dissertation research on interwar Austria, published chapters in a number of edited collections or academic journals. So I was well familiar with academic writing and how one gets published there. But this is a book that is written for a general audience, you know, audience of readers who want to read the story of an interesting woman of the previous century, something very accessible to a general audience. And, of course, it then has its own publishing route that you have to take, very different from submitting to an academic press or an academic journal.
Yeah, so run us through the process, because people out there listening say, "Gee, I have a book. I want to write a book. How do I go about doing something like that?"
Mm-hmm. Well, I set off initially, and I was guided here with my brilliant niece, Sally, who lives in New York and who does work in the field of publishing. So she gave me some good advice up front, and I tried a very traditional route. First of all, I tried to find an agent, which ended up being not successful, although I did get encouragement from two or three of these agents who said, "This is a really good book." I submitted a lengthy overview outline and then samples of a couple chapters. But it was all, "This isn't exactly the sort of thing that I'm working with," or "I'm not quite sure where we would place this," and so on. So then my niece came to my rescue again, and she connected me with I guess you'd call them a boutique publisher that she had worked with in the past, that was a combination of letting you go both the self-publishing route in terms of the contract and how one sells the book, but allowed you access to their more conventional side of the business, which provided me with a copy editor, proofreading services, and very importantly, the artistic design of the book. So the book, you know, it's indistinguishable from anything that you would buy at Barnes & Noble or Boswell Books or whatever. It's beautifully laid out inside, and the cover of my Helen Perry Curtis and the European Trip of a Lifetime book was designed by their artistic staff. And then likewise, this was the same publisher that brought out the reprint edition of Gene and Company, and I worked with the same artist in designing that cover as well as the interior. But then it was up to me, really, to market and sell the book. It did not help that it was published in September of 2020 when we were still in various stages of pandemic
COVID.
Lockdown.
Oh, no, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So some of the things that I really had planned and hoped for in terms of opportunities to sell the book in person just dried up. Some of those came back later, but not entirely. But anyway, it's really been up to me to market and sell the book, and I've been really pretty successful with that. So it's worked well, and then you end up keeping more. You put some money out up front in bulk purchasing the books, but then once you sell them, you recoup a greater share of the profits than if a publishing company were handling this themselves.
Well, it helped also that you had some sort of in the publishing industry.
Yes. Yeah. Again, my niece Sally.
Yeah. Hold on there. We're talking to Laura Gillott, and she wrote the book Helen Perry, I can't even see, I can't get my glasses on. Helen Perry Curtis
Helen Perry
and
Curtis.
The European Trip of a Lifetime. It's all, when you make the movie, I think you have to shorten the title. They don't like long titles in movies.
This is true. We'll come. Well, but Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris.
Yeah,
now
guess,
that's
yeah,
equally
yeah.
long, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I guess so.
There we go.
Hold on, Laura. More coming up with Laura Gillott in just a moment here. WRJN, Hometown Radio Refresh, your civic media station.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Fountain Hills Apartments in Racine has an incredibly rare opening for a one-bedroom apartment. If you or someone you know would like to live at Fountain Hills, named number one for senior living in Mount Pleasant by senioradvisor.com, now is your chance. With amenities like on-site management and heated parking, Fountain Hills' top priority is safety, with a locked lobby and thorough cleaning. To grab this rare one-bedroom apartment, see fountainhillsapartments.com or call 262-886-9200 right away.
Shop local, buy local, save big deals.
Hi, I'm Jenny, the manager over at Your Big Deals online store. Did you know that when you shop locally, 83 cents of that dollar stays in town? Local businesses are the lifeblood of our community, and that's why you should shop Your Big Deals online store. Dozens of gift certificates to local businesses, all in one convenient place. Shop local from the convenience of your home or smartphone.
Save on Racine's big deals at WRJN.com.
You're listening to WRJN, Southeastern Wisconsin's home for Matt and Air on Air.
WRJN on your Monday morning. And Laura Gillotte is my guest. She is a published author, and she's here in Racine, which is really neat. Now, how do you get your book sold by Amazon? Because I noticed your book is on there, and you can buy it in paperback now. And also, Gene & Company is also available on the Kindle version on Amazon. How do you get your book sold on Amazon? Because once you're on Amazon, I mean, the world can buy your product then. One-stop shopping.
This is true, although the authors only get about a dollar per copy. But at least the book is out there and on Amazon. The publisher puts it up there. And so it's on not only Amazon, but it's on a number of other online platforms, BarnesandNoble.com, Powell's Books out in Oregon, and so on. So there are a number of online places that the book is for sale. But it's also set for sale here locally. You had a promo in the course of your hour about shopping local. The Racine Heritage Museum carries it in their gift shop.
Oh, that's great.
Right. And I also have a website, Helen Perry Curtis Bio, all one word, helenperrycurtisbio.com. And so any of your listeners who want to look up my website and can email me over there, there's a link. I will personally deliver a copy.
Look at you, autographed and everything.
Local shopping, yes.
Autographed. That autographing, yeah, does one of two things. It devalues the book because you scribbled all over it, or it makes it valuable because you autographed it.
So, well, there you go.
It's one of two things.
Take your pick.
Now, you mentioned something that a lot of people on the panel at the Racine Library mentioned, that when you're on Amazon, they take a huge chunk.
Yeah.
They don't leave you with a lot.
No, you get about a dollar per copy, so it's... I do much better when I go to events, speaking events, as I've been able to do since life returned to normal, not only around Wisconsin, but also in several different places around the country. I've just worked all kinds of connections and gone to book conferences and, events out in New Jersey where Helen spent much of her life, and done a couple of lovely events there and sold books, that works well.
How long did it take you to write Helen Perry Curtis and the European Trip of a Lifetime?
5 years from the time I first connected with her granddaughters until the book was published.
Wow. So, that's a
First 3 years were pretty much exclusively doing the research.
I was watching a TV episode of The Odd Couple when Oscar had to write a book, and he went away for a weekend up into the mountains to go write the book, and he finished it in like 2 days. Doesn't work like that.
It does not work like that. I suppose it depends on the kind of book.
But no, it doesn't.
One which involved a lot of historical research, really, a lot of biographical research. It took a while. So
now, when you mention somebody's name in the book, you have to make sure they could sue you if something's wrong, right?
Well, there's the potential for that. I mean, most of the people I mention in the book are no longer with us. Helen was born in, we want to say a little bit about her own life here and what this biography is about. She was born in 1888, died in 1980 at age 92.
Whoa.
So Helen and her contemporaries are really no longer with us, but descendants are. So, yes, I was very careful in my research, and here again is where online databases are helpful, Ancestry.com and so on, to make sure that I had accurate information about people. And, of course, working with the granddaughters was very advantageous in terms of finding out about the family, and but also making certain that nothing, as I said to them on several occasions, this is not a work of investigative journalism. So I'm not out here to uncover dirty family secrets, of which there really weren't any. But, it was just being careful and being sensitive about writing about real people, while being truthful and accurate.
When you go to a Barnes & Noble and you see these thousands and thousands of books, you don't have any clue to what went on behind the scenes to put those books together.
Right.
I mean,
right.
People put a lot of years' worth of work into it, and here they are, thousands and thousands of books. I'm one of these. My wife reads to me. Although I'm not a great reader, what we do is we have a local book we're doing now. Somebody, a few people wrote books. And at night, she'll pick up a book. And she's such a great reader. She doesn't stumble, doesn't go, through the book, stumbling through words. And she reads to me at night. And I love it when she reads to me.
It's That's just, lovely.
Yeah, not like my, mother in... Well, used to read to me, but she's such a great reader. And I said, would you like me to read? And she says, I enjoy doing it. Let me
Very
read.
Very nice.
Yeah. So we're reading a local book right now. When we get done, we move on to another local book. Our next one is Bob Barry, who was a disc jockey in Milwaukee.
I remember Bob Barry.
Barry. He wrote a book. I had him on the air with me. And I got a copy of his book. I'm going to read it. And it's about all the people he talked about and interviewed through the rock and roll years in the 60s. And I can't wait. And right now we're reading Carol Gianforte's book, and we'll get to yours. We'll get to all of them.
Oh, Carol's book is lovely. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm
reading Recollections of Growing Up Here in Racine. What a lovely person she is, and her historical presentations just draw huge crowds, as many of your listeners know.
She'll be in studio next week with Jim Mercier talking about about the drive-in theaters around our area, which I was a big fan of drive-in theaters. So one more time, let me get the name of the book in here because I want to make sure I get it. It's Helen Perry Curtis and the European Trip of a Lifetime. You can buy it several ways. You can go to your website, which is, what's it, Helen Perry Curtis?
Helen Perry Curtis Bio. B-I-O.
One word.
All one word, .com.
You can buy it that way.
And then you can click on contact the author.
You can go to the Racine Historical Society right there on Main
Street. Racine Heritage Museum, right on the corner of 7th and Main.
So there's so many ways to get it. Of course, if all else fails, you can get it on Amazon.
On Amazon.
you get the world on Amazon. Laura, indeed, you're always welcome here. We're going to have you back again. When you feel better, we're going to have you in studio. Laura Gillott, author, published author from Racine. I love it. Laura, thanks for joining us. I do appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Don.
Bye-bye now.
Okay.
All right. Catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., bright and early here at WRT. And I'm Don Rosen, Hometown Radio Refreshed.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN. Earl Ingram.
Monday morning, join me as I stroll through memory lane and take in the sounds of the Motor City. It's Motown Mondays.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Daring, dark, and deliriously entertaining, Cabaret opens this Friday at the Racine Theatre Guild. In 1929 Berlin, the fantastical world of the Kit Kat Club is an escape from the grim reality creeping in outside of its walls. Cliff, an American writer, is swept up by the club and the one and only Sally Bowles. As the year unfolds, the beautiful facade cracks as an evil power grows. Will love, loyalty, and humanity have a chance? Call the box office at 633-4218 or visit racinetheatre.org for showtimes and tickets.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Donald Trump's former fixer takes the stand at his former client.